This is Guardian Radio, your station for up-to-the-minute news and intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversations. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the views of the management and staff of Guardian Radio.
Good yawning this morning, and welcome back to Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, your station for fresh news, smart talk all day. It is Wednesday, the 17th of June, 2026, and you are on the clock with Erin Green. Let's start the show. I want to remind you guys of Radical Acts of Publishing, an exhibition of alternative books, a show at Ponciana Paper Press. That's number 12 Parkgate Road. Ponciana Paper Press is open. The show is open for viewing Thursday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 3 p.m. Boy, I want to talk headlines this morning. We're going to talk headlines this morning. We are not going to stick on traffic, but we are going to talk about traffic just for a moment. I want to start by saying the police force website crime reports page is, I want to say, back up and running. It now has the June crime reports. Unfortunately, the June crime reports stopped at the 12th of June, which was Friday, right? It's now Wednesday. As of yesterday afternoon, no new reports had been uploaded to the site. Why is that of interest to me? Well, because that's a very, very important thing, right? I'm still concerned, not just upset, you know. I'm concerned at a policy level that when the website was redesigned, it was designed in a way that now, we're in 2026, you no longer have access to the 2025, the 2024, the past crime reports on the page. See, when people accuse the state of lacking transparency, this is a clear example of what is meant. Why would past crime reports not be available? Right? Why wouldn't they be available? What piece of legislation mandates that old crime reports should be removed from the public domain? How are people supposed to access information? How are students and researchers and journalists and members of the media supposed to do research, right? We keep telling people, stop speculating. Stop coming to the public domain with unsubstantiated information. Here's the problem. The state has a problem with providing access to information that should be readily available to the public. So not only do you have a problem with transparency, clarity, and coherence, right? But you are actively creating an environment where people are going to lean on speculation. You are creating an environment where people will lean on unverified reports, anecdotal data, and information and actual evidence shared in the public domain through social media, because the state's mechanisms are not up to the standard for professional operation of the police force or a country. Like, these are small things. And they're not political until we get to the point where we realize that it's not a lack of technical skill. It's not a lack of professional vision. It's a lack of political will and an inability at the political level to maintain an environment where state mechanisms could just function like they're intended to function. Like, that's it. We have the technical skill. We have the professional will. We lack the political will and capacity to operate simple mechanisms. It's like right now, we can't operate the post office properly because we lack the political will to create the environment for that to happen. The shipping space, see, now that you've allowed the post office to degrade and devolve, you've also allowed, like juxtaposed to it, right next to it, a completely and totally unregulated private shipping space. It is madness out there, right? People can't get their packages. They can't get all of their items. They can't get a proper accounting of submitted. Nothing takes the amount of time that we're told that it's going to take. And there seems to be very little recourse for when items go missing. So not only did you allow the post office to devolve, but you've paid no attention to the alternate space. Right? That's why I say it's everything stands in an administrative crisis. Because as state services degrade to the point of total eradication, like BEC tree trimming department, right? Where it appears, see, we can speculate now because I don't know if there are white papers. In fact, I don't know if you could talk to anybody at BEC or BPL or BGC about anything with clarity, right? But imagine that your monopoly power company, right? There's a monopoly and they downsized their tree trimming department out of existence. And they knew they were doing it, right? They knew they were doing it. They didn't take on new staff. They didn't train staff to move them from other departments. They didn't maintain the trucks. They didn't buy new trucks, right? And here's what happened. Whether it's intentional or not, see, because we're going to speculate now, whether it's intentional or not, here's what happened. A small crew of people have been able to create a mini empire, right? A mini empire by buying bucket trucks to be able to provide a contracting service to the state to trim trees. Right? So now, but let's look at the landscape for a second, because here's what's happening. In my constituency, St. Anne's, to repair a street light costs $1,000. And I was told that's because the average daily rental for a bucket truck is $750, right? So you allowed BPL tree trimming to dissipate. It's an essential service, you know. So you got to prioritize now a different protocol. So you have a subcontractor protocol, right? And it appears as if party generals get first priority in getting these jobs, right? So you got no tree trimming happening by the company that owns the infrastructure that needs to be protected by the trimming. You got private sector people coming in now as contractors and then subcontractors, right? And so now they could charge whatever they want because their service is essential. Ain't nobody using the bucket trucks to pick fruit, right? Nobody using bucket trucks to pick fruit in the tropics where the fruit just rotten. So not only are we losing potential income, we're creating an environmental hazard by letting the fruit just drop and rot or stay in the tree and rot, right? Can't get them to use to pick the fruit. You can't hire them privately as a private citizen, because who got $750 a day And I believe that's whether the job takes 30 minutes or it takes 8 hours. Right? Something is wrong. But it appears as if that's what's happening all over the country. A state service is allowed to devolve to the point of eradication, and then some private contractors come and swoop in, and then because there's no oversight, there's no forethought, there's no regulation, right? Then they create this sector or industry with rules and regulations or professional culture that's just on its head. It doesn't make any sense. While caretaker for my aunt's property that has silk cotton trees on it, woke up one morning to hear heavy equipment, die on alert. They got some neighbors, they'll cut the silk cotton tree, they don't care. So I go out and I see a truck in front of the property cutting the silk cotton tree. So politely, I say, good morning, gentlemen. They ignore me. I say, good morning again, gentlemen. They ignore me. Pause. I say, okay. I say, hey, I'm the owner of this property. Can you tell me who you are and what you're doing? The boy ignored me. He's looking right in my face and ignoring me, you know. So I emphasize my earlier statement with a bit of profanity. And the boy calls my name and tells me, obviously, he worked for government. And I want to say, how? How? Your vehicle is not marked. You don't even have on safety vests. You have on no lanyard to identify yourself. There's no any markings on the truck. You're just some rogue, random people cutting back a protected tree. And I just supposed to come out and see that and then go back inside my house and don't worry about it because I is mine, what you could do? You just destroy, just get rid of the state infrastructure vis-a-vis tree trimming. And then you create a state where you got a bunch of rogue actors, not all, but you got a bunch of rogue actors just doing what they want. Then at some point you had your prime minister tell the coconut boys, go coconut boy. They can't afford to hire a bucket truck to go pick coconut to go sell to the public. Right? It's just a lack of attention being paid to everything. We had two industrial accidents yesterday. The first story fatally struck Eyewitness News, an employee of the Bahamas Public Parks and Beach and Public Beaches Authority, identified by family members at the scene as John Altidore, was fatally struck by a female driver Tuesday morning while carrying out roadside duties along JFK Drive. This is not only a traffic fatality, this is an industrial accident. This man was on the job. I know everything is not even before the courts yet, right? But was there proper signage to indicate to drivers that they are required to slow down because technically there are roadworks ahead? Were there flashing lights installed on the side of the road and the infrastructure to alert drivers to the need to slow down because there are people working? Did we decide to assign at least one police vehicle, preferably two, to JFK when Beaches and Parks staff are working there? But forget all of that. We know that JFK is a speed trap. Why aren't we conducting regular exercises? Not just to catch speeders, but to moderate driving through police presence. In the States, when they have a major accident, and in Britain, the police have a protocol, right? Where the police cars drive in front of the traffic, like they pull out in front of traffic to slow it down as they are approaching either a major accident or major roadworks. See, I got the zine. I didn't pull it out. I got the zine on Munnings Road. I pull out a different zine for y'all this morning. Did y'all know that Bamsey had three fires? 2015, 2019, and 2024. Have we seen a report? Like, did the Prime Minister insist that his words must be followed up by a report when he said that the contractors contract hadn't been reduced to writing yet. Right? You see the irony? Did the prime minister ensure that his words were reduced to writing in a policy statement? That's when the truss fell. Not the roof, the truss. I like to put the T on the end because I was a Bahamian. I think the trust fell when the truss fell. Right? Are we taking industrial safety seriously? It's not just the private company. It's just not just the government, the state as an employer. There are mechanisms already in place to protect workers, but maybe it is we don't think that workers deserve protection. Or maybe it's just a certain type of worker that doesn't deserve protection. But surely the person that cleans up highways deserves the protection that's already been mandated. The second story, Fatal Fall, Eyewitness News, 16th of June, 2026. 26-year-old Radnell Joseph was reportedly carrying out construction activities on top of a warehouse when he reportedly fell through the unfinished ceiling, dying of his injuries. RBPF press liaison, Chief Superintendent of Police Sharia King, noted detectives are still gathering information regarding if the young worker was outfitted with proper gear.
You know, can I say something?
Good morning, Ms. Hamilton.
Good morning, Erin. Yes, wow, yeah. The news. I remember hearing on Guardian, I believe, that the construction association, I don't know what it's called, they have been lobbying for years for construction to be regulated.
Mm-hmm. I think we're hitting year 10.
For years. Is it year 10?
So let me, if I could just tell the audience. So the Contractors Association has been pointing out over the last 2 years, right, that to the public that they have been agitating and lobbying the government to move on constituting a contractors board. Here's why that's important. With the new contractors legislation, I think that was passed in 2016.
It was passed. Mm-hmm.
It required the composition of a contractors board. One of the things that board would do was license contractors. So it turns out for the last 10 years, we've had legislation that requires that a contractors board license contractors. Would you presume the implication is that you must be licensed before you could take on professional work, right? Right? There's been no board for 10 years. Why is this important? Because perhaps a part of the process of being licensed as a contractor is the verification that you have, not just have safety equipment, you have sufficient safety equipment for your staff. You have up to standard and modern day safety equipment.
And that you're hiring people who are competent, who are licensed to do the job.
And that if they come untrained, they're not allowed to do work that requires training. And that in the process of licensing contractors, there is an assurance that training exists for new staff.
Yes, they were also talking about the massive hiring of illegals on construction site, wherever they come from. Mm-hmm. I remember there was a talk about the Chinese building and they brought Chinese prisoners and they've disappeared somewhere. So I don't know why.
It was by Bamboo Shack.
Was it?
The food good, you know. The food good. Go on.
Why is it there have been horrific accidents that would cause, I guess, any serious government, and I'm not, you know, saying the government isn't,
to act.
Yeah. Here's another accident. And I'm sorry, his name is Joseph. Who is he?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What we know is from news reports that both men were breadwinners. They were the major earners in their home. They were supporting people. And when we talk about migrants working on construction sites, right, and illegal migrants working on construction sites, it's important to remember, so people say, well, why would there be protections for people who are acting illegally, right? why would there be protections for people who are breaking the law? Because here's why. Because we understand that migrants are desperate. Limited employment opportunities, limited revenue generation opportunities, and they don't necessarily, that illegal status is not necessarily an indicator of criminality. That they are here illegally don't mean that I just boss out and criminalize every day, just crime, crime, crime. No. Most migrants, especially when their status is uncertain or we know that they ain't got no status, they're trying to legitimize themselves.
Mm-hmm. And they should also work under safe conditions.
Right. Anybody on the work site.
On the work site, whomever.
Right. And so everybody on the work site mm-hmm. must be protected. And the employer who is hiring illegal migrants is less likely
to do so.
And less likely to do the right thing, less likely to report the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so, children, we know, Children, we know their brains are not developed. And so, they're going to do stupid things. And we measure how we respond based on our knowledge, which is their brains have not formed completely yet. We expect them to do silly things, so we prepare for that. We don't just punitive and destroy them, right?
I also think it's not sustainable to continue to say that Bahamians don't want to work. I think this is the truth because mm-hmm. it's been said so often. There are many Bahamians who want to work, and they are confronted by competing with other people, they say, who get these contracts. I've mm-hmm. heard the story again and again. If there was a board, all of this would be transparent.
Well, we would have a mechanism to create more, ensure more transparency. Yeah. I want to just touch briefly. Let's go to the phone line quickly, and then I want to touch on one more story before we transition. Good morning, caller.
Hey, good morning, Aaron.
Hi, good morning.
Good show as usual, and good morning to your guest.
Good morning.
Morning.
Who's your guest?
Diana Hamilton.
Oh, thank you very much for the name. Ms. Hamilton, you are a fresh breeze to me. I appreciate your sentiments, you know, and I always call Erin Green Show because I appreciate her sentiments.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Right. Thank you.
But, the last three persons to fall off a building, they were people of different nationalities.
Right? Mm-hmm.
So that's a trend, right?
Mm-hmm.
Because the immigration department, right, knows we have this is the type of problem we have in this country. We have prayer persons getting work permit, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're getting work permit legally, right?
Mm-hmm.
But they are abusing the work permit by working where the work permit don't entitle them to work.
Outside of the scope of the work permit.
Right, because, you know, you will find out that most Haitians especially construction sites, right?
Mm-hmm.
More than 80% of them do not have a work permit for construction.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have a work permit to clean Aaron Green Yard or clean Miss Hamilton Farm.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But they don't have no... And it's widespread because if you have a work permit but you're working at Atlantis mm-hmm. and Atlantis didn't sign off on getting you this work permit, right?
Yeah.
How are we turning a blind eye to things like that?
Yeah.
And we've seen that all through on our tourism product today, right? How could we be given work permit for foreigners to come work in a industry which is supposed to be protected for Bahamians.
That's quite right.
Yeah,
that's quite right. Mm-hmm. And most of all, I think what bothers me is that we go to church on Sunday, and in any country, like if you go to Spain, they take the siesta, and all the shops are closed. They're closed. Okay, we are in church on Sunday, and you walk past the Chinese working on Sunday. On the day that we say is a day of rest. Mm-hmm. So there are these things that are just not, don't seem right to me.
Like the Chinese, mm-hmm. the Chinese don't the Chinese, well, everybody know the Chinese are a shit though by now. Chinese are here to make money, and that's it.
But no, hold on.
That's not my point.
I know, but let me phrase it like this, right?
Rephrase it, Aaron.
All right, you ever seen a beach in China? Like, it's a billion and a half people in China, right? There's no time. The culture is different.
Yeah.
There's no time to stop working. Indonesia, India, the Philippines. There's so many people, right? And there's a limited amount of sort of formal employment opportunities. So in these countries, what you find is people have a job. They got a job, and then they got three other jobs. They're working in a cooperative, right? So they may be, my family has a cooperative, and we make souvenirs. And my job is to paint the red beads. And string them.
So I can leave on this.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
Let's continue to advocate for more accountability and transparency.
Absolutely.
Right, in this country, because you know, at the end of the day, we are losing. We are losing in every angle or facet in this country. Places where we used to be number one, right? We are now
number four.
Yeah.
Number seven.
I say companies
with nation that we never thought that we would have been to that level, but we are.
That's right. And we do need a stronger artisanal community. Like when you live in other countries, I don't know about America because I basically lived in France and Europe. The artisan is so well appreciated. Lawyers can't build house. If there's a hurricane, neither your doctor nor your lawyer is going to build your house, put in your plumbing, and get things back up. Mm-hmm. We need skilled workers.
Listen, we need to examine the impact. Producer, let's prep the caller coming right now. We need to examine the impact of the merchant class and the merchant culture on our country, given our proximity to the larger Global North, North American continent, right? Mm-hmm. Good morning, Carlo.
Good morning, Aaron. How are you doing?
I'm good, thank you. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Good morning to you again.
Good morning,
you know,
sir.
Aaron, and I must echo the sentiments of the last caller. This lady is a breath of fresh air, and sometimes it's good to get different opinions from different guests.
Mm-hmm.
But we do have lazy people in every nationality. Make no mistake. So this myth that they're spreading that Bahamians don't want to work, that's a myth that has been debunked for many, many, many years. So we have to come with something else.
Mm-hmm.
And respect to construction. I've been an advocate, you know, because when you look at the Atlantis Phase 1, 2, and 3 projects, when you look at these major projects, everybody's safety is a number one priority on those sites.
Mm-hmm.
But when you come over the hill, you have people climbing roofs who are not wearing harness, who are not wearing helmet, who are not wearing any construction shoes, anything like that.
The major utility providers in this country, state-owned and private, refuse to protect the public and their staff by ensuring that proper signage is erected when work's taking place. They refuse to operate the proper protocols for state agencies. There's supposed to be a traffic management team operating, right? So both the staff and the public are rendered unsafe by this lack of attention, right, by the employers.
And that's, Aaron, that's correct. You know, but, you know, the irony about this thing is, Aaron, I don't know what it's going to take, because they hear these things, they see these things, but they don't value, I don't know why, but their rationale is this, that these local contractors, they don't have the funding to do these basic things in terms of ensuring the health and safety of their employees as well as the general public at large. That's their rationale, that they don't have sufficient
funding.
Well,
then they should not exist.
Listen, so let me just stick on the political culture for a second, right? Every time you hear an MP or a minister, they're talking about the contracts, you know, they're talking about major works is taking place, and they're talking about how they are ensuring that every Bahamian could take advantage of this opportunity, right? That even the smallest man could get a piece of the pie, right? That's the political culture. That's what they continue to say. So if you are contracting, and you know that those contractors going to, especially if you know those contractors going to subcontract out that work, right? Then why doesn't the department that is issuing the contracts have sufficient safety equipment and resources available so when somebody gets a contract, because you've identified that they have the capacity to do it, if you decide that they have the capacity despite the lack of safety protocols and equipment, then you have the equipment to rent to them for the purpose of the contract. Because you, the politician, keep crying to me, the citizen, about how you trying to give these people a hand. See, I'm a citizen on Johnson Road. I could tell you I have a schedule of when the old potholes go open back up.
But then that is it, you know. You see, because when I had the opportunity to work on over to Atlantis on their construction site,
mm-hmm.
I think it was phase two, my steel toe boots, my safety hat,
mm-hmm.
vest and stuff like that, I had to purchase.
Listen, let's go back to the R.M. Bailey roof. The Prime Minister say it's a matter of trust. What the private employer say? Get your things. How dare you tell me you qualified for the job and you don't have your equipment? Go, right?
Well, it's just lack of enforcement, Aaron. And then I would be very interesting to know the gentleman who was killed, and condolences to his family too.
Mm-hmm.
Not only the guy who fell off the roof, the gentleman who, and I can only imagine what he would have been through. In that car. Very interesting to know whether or not he had on the proper gear.
That's true, too.
Yes.
Was he wearing a flashing? Of course.
We don't know that.
No, not yet.
Likely, but I saw a pair of Crocs. I don't know whose Crocs it was. But I saw a pair of Crocs on the scene. I don't know exactly who it was. But then it just goes to show, Aaron, that we got to enforce these basic things.
Right.
I mean, we could do it, you know. It isn't expensive to do.
This is what I'm saying. And this is what...
It's just the political will.
Right.
That's all it is.
Yes, sir. Then that's why I keep... Thank you very much, Mr. Duncan. That's why I keep drawing us back to the Prime Minister's words when the trust collapsed at R.M. Bailey, right? Oh, the contract... The contract hasn't been reduced to writing yet. There was a question of whether the project was properly insured, right? And there was no statement to the public, right? See, because you know who the public is? The public is the students and the parents and guardians of the students that have to occupy that auditorium. That's who you're supposed to speak to assure them that every T has been crossed and every I has been dotted, because it's their children's safety. You got to speak to the families of the teachers and the custodial staff that have to work in that in the gymnasium. That's who you have to talk to about the status of the collapse, the contract, and the insurance. Let's go to the phone line, because I still ain't finished with traffic yet.
Are we going to do this?
No, we're going to do that right after the break. So as we go to the phone line, here's the traffic questions I have. What is the status of the accidents that took place this weekend just past in Cable Beach? The red car with the rental car. Unfortunately, if you've seen the video, listen, I want to say we just praying for the two women that were in that accident. We just praying for them, right? But what's the status of that accident, please? What's the status of the accident involving two motorcyclists on the Eastern Road about 3 days ago? See, I drove down the Eastern Road. I got a Bahamas Striping Group Company story in here for today, you know. I drove down the Eastern Road day before yesterday. The road was striped, right? The road was striped, but like right in front of Fox Hill intersection. So I say it's a start, right? I say it's a start. And then somebody sent me pictures of an accident that happened there, likely the night before. And now I'm asking the question, did it take an accident for y'all to realize that y'all supposed to prioritize the striping of the Fox Hill Road, Eastern Road intersection, given the nature of the intersection? It's the only one with a physical median. It's dark. There's not proper lighting there. It took the motorcyclists getting knocked down for y'all to go pave the thing? Let's go to the phone line, producer. Take these calls and we go to a break. Good morning, caller.
My niece, Ms. Green, how you do this morning?
I'm good, thank you, Uncle. How you do?
Let me see if I could put a little cheer up a little bit. let me congratulate on behalf of the Member of Parliament for Bamboo Town, all of the graduating students, college, and everybody that graduated this.
Yeah, man, big up, yeah.
Just passed.
Yes, yes.
But also allow me, please, you know, Mother's Day, everybody that's be on the radio for days and days. I want you to hear carefully now. This is not a political event.
Absolutely. You're talking about Kino Wong Grill and Chill on Montague Park?
No, this is a Bamboo Town constituency.
Okay. All right.
Father's Day.
All right. Where it taking place? Uncle, what happened to the call? Anyway, the call dropped. Let's take the next caller. Bamboo Town is going to have a Father's Day event. St. Anne's, Kino Wong, Senator Kino Wong is doing a Father's Day Grill and Chill on Montague Beach. I got to get the day. It's in my phone. After the break, I can get the day. Good morning, caller. Good morning, caller. You there? Good morning, caller. All right. I missed those calls. We're going to go to a break. When we get back from the break, I'm glad Uncle called. I had these stories. Bastion pledges new national ID card to reduce red tape. Another headline is digital economy push with national ID, AI law, and skills drive. And Bastion, AI will be used to automate government processes, not replace workers. These are three very interesting articles recounting the minister's statements yesterday. But I heard something very important. While we're talking about national development, we need to have a serious focus on the national security implications that come along with AI technology and a digital ID. If you don't rate me when you see me in person, you rate me when I digital? I don't know. We're going to a break. Stay tuned. I'll be right back.
Money back in your pocket with the Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan. Why pay more when you can pay less? Reduce your monthly debt payments down to one low, easy payment. Apply for a Fidelity Debt Consolidation Loan today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Cleveland Clinic, you set your course. Not cancer. So when your journey takes an unexpected turn, you seek out the experts who've conquered it before, and you forge new paths to help fight cancers. For every route to a cure, for every care in the world. See how we're innovating cancer care at Cleveland Clinic today.
Struggling to find your financial rhythm? Make that move to Fidelity and let us help you orchestrate your financial goals into perfect harmony with free financial coaching sessions. Make that move today. Call 356-7764.
Fidelity, we're good for you.
Good morning and welcome back to On the Clock with Erin Green. Listen, we're going to take this caller. They've been holding for a moment. And then we have Diana Hamilton in-house. And she promised us a song. And Uncle says Father's Day. And we ain't celebrating fathers enough. So Diana has a treat for us. Good morning, caller.
Good morning, Erin. Good morning, Mrs. Hamilton.
Good morning.
A breath of fresh air, indeed. Erin, the thing that troubles a lot of us. And, you know, it is sad when you offer your voice over the airwaves and you bring to the attention or the awareness of things that's going wrong in your country. We have persons have the audacity to come and say, well, you know, Bahamians are nothing but a bunch of complainers. in all nations, even in the great United States of America, you have persons on the airwaves, their citizenry, come on the airwaves or even in writing and talk about the things that they see that is going wrong or has gone wrong, that is that has moved away from the established norms. And it's like we are supposed to act or pretend as if everything is perfect, everything is fine, and you just have nothing to say.
Mm-hmm.
I beg to differ. I salute everyone that comes onto these airwaves and bring about the awareness, or at least have the persons in authority to have the awareness that we are aware that we are not going to accept things for which they feel we should be quiet about and just continue to go about our day as normal.
Mm-hmm.
We talk about these things with the roadways, and trust me, everyone was called in to bring to the awareness. I am pretty sure that there should be a stack of documents on these desks now where persons who have called in have indicated things have gone wrong so they can be addressed. We talk about these roads. Now, I see that the striping company is doing some work now, or even has gone about to bring about a calling persons who are in the business or in a career opportunity.
Right. They have a major roadworks project coming up, and they having a job fair. Right.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. And that is so important. I salute and I applaud them for that. On the flip side, though, right now, presently, we have a lot of our streets that have been laid. And you talk about striping, no striping. My biggest pet peeve are these speed bumps they're putting down, not the striping company, but persons who are responsible for having speed bumps put down.
Mm-hmm.
They putting speed bumps down on major thoroughfares, which is totally ridiculous. And then the second part is they're putting down speed bumps, and they're not putting any signage, no indication, no white triangles to indicate that these speed bumps where they are now once wasn't. And so people are unaware of these, and it poses a hazard.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we bring these things to the attention, and it seems as if it is still business as usual.
Jeff, give me a second.
Speed bumps.
You know, give me a second, right? I just want to say this. I see the minister responsible for education in the paper today telling us there's no D average in the school. We got to look at the system. First of all, we've been telling y'all that the D average is the system. When we say there's a D average, we're grading the system and not the students. But imagine this, right? If all speed bumps must be marked, right? If the law requires or protocols requires all speed bumps must be marked, then if you're the person who puts down the speed bump, right? You cannot, you should not leave your job until you've determined what are you required to do to ensure that this speed bump is marked, even if temporarily, until the proper signage team comes in to mark it, right? This is what we're saying, that whatever's happening in the education system is not producing people who could think at the level necessary for the work that they're doing.
I totally agree with you with that, Erin, and having you say that, something else popped to mind. What about these persons who are cutting trenches in these roads and leave the trenches wide open?
Mm-hmm.
They didn't come back to pack it or even attempt to pack it. They just cut it and they just leave it.
Jeff, I get
I understand
yeah.
what I'm saying, and
mm-hmm.
I'll leave the line now.
Sorry, Jeff, listen. I got you. I need Miss Hamilton to sing the song first, right? But just before we get there, I'm going to tell you all the story about how I adopted a water and sewage cone. Water and sewage came in, they cut the road, they did the road works, and then the team came in and patched the road, right? But nobody actually removed the asphalt that was taken out of the road to open it up. They just throw it on the side of the road. That asphalt is now graduating from L.W. Young, and some of it graduating from SAC, some from Kingsway, some from QC, and some from St. Anne's. You know what I'm saying? That's how long the asphalt that was taken out of the road been living on the side of the road. Nobody ever came to pick it up, right? So they didn't come to get the water and sewage cone either. So I adopt a water and sewage cone, and I let water and sewage staff know. In fact, I let any utility service know. I have a cone. If you need it to be safe, use it and put it back where I take it from. Simple, right? The school system is not preparing these students. They're not leaving school with the critical thinking skills necessary to excel in the workplace. All right, now, Ms. Hamilton, I ain't even gonna get to the text. Ms. Hamilton is the organizer of the Cat Island Accordion and French Camp. Also, They have a major fundraiser coming up in July. Ms. Hamilton is going to come back on the show to talk about the major fundraiser. But right now, she's going to sing. She's going to give me the flyer. Dead quick, because she's supposed to be talking. She ain't talking. She preparing for song. The Cat Island Accordion and French Summer Camp. Learn, play, celebrate our culture. It's taking place June 22nd to June 30th. June 22nd to June 30th. It's not too late to sponsor this camp. It's not too late to sponsor this camp. If you could sponsor this camp, like you say, hey, I have a whole churn I'm trying to send. If you could pay their fee, I think you may be able to get in. June 22nd to June 30th on Cat Island. The camp runs daily 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. There's going to be accordion, dance, culture, fun, Bahamian tradition, world class, featuring the Italian tarantella and the Bahamian quadrille. The tarantella is a dance?
It's from the south of Italy. It's practiced today.
Listen, is it like the merengue?
No. You remember, you know the Scottish dance?
Yeah, yeah.
It seems to have a similarity, but I'm not sure.
I could dance with a partner?
We are reviving partner dancing.
This is
what it's all about.
Listen, I am a Bahamian cultural. See, y'all think Erin's just gay. But when I'm traveling, I'm a Bahamian cultural ambassador.
That's the purpose of the last dance that we'll talk about next time.
So the last dance, a celebration of cultures, is taking on July 3rd. We're going to talk about next week. It's going to be featuring Italian accordionist Giuliano Gabriel.
Yeah, so our teacher this year is coming from the south of Italy.
Okay.
And so when our teachers come in, they bring us their national dance, which is the tarantella in the south.
Okay.
And so they will perform, so we get to see him. He's an active performer. And then when we start the dance session, we'll learn how to dance the tarantella.
And we're going to have a dance-off?
Yes, that's the whole point. It was so much fun last year. Everyone was giggling like crazy.
I don't know if I could find some. I don't know if I could find a dancing partner.
You remember how we used to just go and grab somebody? This is what this is about. There's nobody. If you don't come with a partner, you will find a partner.
Man, when I saw the flyer for Aishan for a night, right? They did this beautiful flyer giving you the cultural rules for the night.
Mm-hmm.
And one was, listen, like in this culture, we is a grab a dance.
Yeah, you have to, yeah.
Right? Like you go and you say, hey, come dance with me.
That's right.
Right? And they say, in this culture, you don't necessarily refuse to dance. I say, y'all better prepare them, men. If I go, look here, my Haitian brethren, then. If I go to the dance and I put my hand out, because I know the rule, I can't take your hand, but I can put my hand out you know I expect you to take my hand.
There's something very sweet.
That's the music. Producer, we're going to end it right now. Let's end it with Diana Hamilton singing. You ready?
Eight Babies by George Simonet.
In honor of Father's Day.
She was just 25. She was a nice little wife. She was just 2 years younger than him. She was so full of enjoyment. She loved to have fun. And sometimes she'd go on a spree. His wife left him behind with eight babies to mind and a house in good order to keep. While she went a-courting and having a good time, he had to rock those eight babies to sleep. Singing, I-E-O-E, rock-a-bye, baby. Your daddy mother will come to you by and by. I-E-O-E, rock-a-bye, baby. Your dear mother will come to you by and by. So it has another part, but we don't have time. Happy Father's Day.
Listen, is that the part where we talk about...
That's the part where he goes out and... Well...
Listen, that's the part where we begin to understand that Eight Babies is one of the most important songs for us to examine. Because the question is, why in this time would he tolerate her leaving him with the eight babies? How she make the eight babies? And why he sound like he ain't sure the eight babies is his?
Sounds very different about the quality of relationship. This is what I knew.
This is how
we grew up.
But also because the socioeconomics of the time shaped the way that relationships worked.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, island people, our music has so many stories to tell.
Yeah, that one is delicious.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah, man. You had to mind them eight babies. Wasn't sure they was yours. Producer, thank you for your patience. Texters, I'm sorry we didn't get to all of the texts this morning. You guys, stay tuned. Guardian Radio AM with C.A. Newry is up next. See you tomorrow.